Good morning, everybody. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lefanav el Esav, and Jacob sent angels in front of. Good morning, Boker Tov, Boker Ol.
She's coming late.
So Yaakov is sending angels. So one of the big questions is, are they really angels or are they messengers? Because it's a very complicated issue. Because halachically, it's a problem to use a kohen, even today, let's say to clean the dishes, for example. And even a normal job that you want to give a kohen, it's not so simple to do it, because a kohen is one who stands in front of God. He is like our,
representative.
And we all know we have to respect the kohen and give him the... And here, Yaakov Avinu is sending angels, which is quite difficult to understand. How can it be that he sends real angels? How is he allowed to use angels at all? So there are a lot of interesting comments about this. But I think that one of the most interesting comments is that those angels are really the angels that Yaakov Avinu made. What does it mean? When we do good things, an angel is created. Unfortunately, also when we do bad things, also an angel is created. When we do good, it's a good angel. When we do bad, it's a bad angel. But in other words, what we are talking here about is those angels that were really made from the good deeds of Yaakov, so definitely he's got no problem sending them.
What happens when a person is nifter? What happens to the angels that he created, positive and negative? Where do they go?
They go up with him. And that's when he's got the judgment. And they check what's happening with him.
Those angels can be recycled and come down to earth again.
An angel is something very unique. It's like something that... it depends how you look at it. Because some of the opinions say that the angel's got one mission in life. And after he finishes this mission, that's it. It's finished. And there are a lot of other opinions. But those are things that we really don't understand. But the angels we're talking here... like, from this point of view, it's angels that you create. In other words, they are yours, and they go with you. It's like, you did something good, so you get a medal. Now, this medal goes with you. It's with you all time. It doesn't go away. So this is like a medal, if you want to make a sample to understand what it's all about. In other words, whatever I do, there is an angel being made out of it. What is the meaning of an angel? Yeah. The meaning of an angel is that he is a messenger of God. That he is supposedly higher level than us, but not really. The only thing that he is higher is that he is more close to God in a spiritual way. He is more abstract, he is more spiritual, but doesn't make him better than us. On the contrary, we are better than an angel. Why? Because an angel does exactly what he is being told to do. He's got no options. He cannot choose to do this or to do that. But we have the choice. In other words, we are much better than an angel. An angel's got no desires. He's got nothing.
If the doctor saves your life, he's an angel.
So an angel is really something that we like to call a good guy is an angel. Okay, because angels are high level. But the real truth is, if you think about it, an angel can be good as God. So what? It's not his choice. He didn't choose to do good. He has to do good because this is the way God created him. In other words, we have a benefit that we can choose to do right and wrong. So we get rewarded. An angel, you reward him for what? For doing what he was ordered to do? What he has to do? This is why... it's a lot of times, even in life, we talked about it a few times, it's better to choose to do something than to do it because I have to do it. In other words, when I keep a mitzvah, whatever it is, don't do it because you have to do it. Do it because you choose to do it. And it's all different. It's absolutely another thing at all. Because when you do what you have to do, it's okay, I did it. So what? I did it because I have to do it. Yes, okay, I did it, but think about it, if I do it because I choose to do it, it's like you have a child, and the child is doing what he has to do to you. Yes, okay? He's doing you a great favor that he comes to visit you. It happens. From the other side, you have another child, and he comes because he wants to come. Who do you like more? Or what approach do you like more? The one who is doing it like because he has to do it, like he's doing you a favor, because it's my obligation, I have to do it, so I'm doing it. Or the one who is doing it because he chooses to do it, he wants to do it. It's a whole bit different. And that's exactly the point. When we do things, let us choose to do them. Not because we have to, because we want to, because we choose to do them. Even if we don't want to do them. But the minute we choose to do them, it's already a whole big difference. So, Yaakov is sending angels to Esau. In our parsha, there's something very interesting. We have all the time things that have double meaning, which is very interesting. By the way, also here with the angels, one of the opinions says that here there were really people, human beings, that were sent as messengers, but up there in heaven, there were angels. It's like we see when Yaakov is asking God, "Atzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav, save me from my brother from Esau." And why do we need to know this? If it tells me, "Save me from my brother," we all know it's Esau. If he tells us, "Save me from Esau," we all know it's his brother. Okay, you want to save from your brother Esau? No problem. Say, "Save me from my brother Esau." But why do I have to say, "Save me from my brother from Esau"? Why do we need a two times miyad achi miyad Esau? Atzileni na miyad achi Esau. In other words, we're talking here about two options. And in a minute we'll come and talk about it. The same thing. It tells Esav, Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Laban, telling him that I was not exactly having beautiful life and being a master in my home. On the contrary, I was a ger. I was a refugee in the house of Laban, which is not exactly a nice figure. So, the other side, says Rashi, he's telling Esav, Im Lavan Garti, V'Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti. Garti is the letters of Taryag. Taryag is 613, and those are the mitzvahs. So, in other words, he's telling really, Esav, if you think that from the spiritual point of view, I went down, on the contrary, I did it even in the house of Laban, which means that you cannot fight with me. Because when Yitzchak blessed Yaakov and Esau, he said, "This as long as Yaakov has got his spiritual level right, Esau cannot touch him. The minute that the spiritual level goes down, then Esau can go up." So, really, he's telling him, "Don't worry, the blessing didn't happen because, you know, blessed me all the beautiful things of the world, but the real thing is, the real truth is that now for many, many years I've been almost, let's say, like a slave in the house of Laban. So what do you want from me?" But there is something in it. And this is an unbelievable thing that, like he tells him, when another thing, Re'ot panecha kir'ot pnei malach. He says, I see the face of an angel. Kirot ne Elohim, he says. Like seeing an angel from God. So it looks like, first of all, wow, why is he talking with Esav like this? Why is this shmerl? Why do you, how do you say mitchanef? How do you say mitchanef?
Flatterer.
Huh?
The flatter.
What do you flatter this Russia? Like you like an angel, like God. Terrible. How do you say it? But what does he mean? So one of the explanations is that what happened a day before, he met the angel of Esav and he fought with him and he won. So what is he really telling him? He's not telling him, "Okay, you are an angel of God." No, he says, "Don't start with me because I met your angel and I fought with him and I won." So it's very interesting. Yaakov Avinu is this figure that is really teaching us so much how to behave. And here also, diplomacy. I think that everybody who has to deal with an enemy or something, and by the way, they say that our people always, all the rabbis, before they went to deal goyim, they used to read those parshiot and to learn how to deal with the goyim. Because really, everything here is being done very clever. You know, he's not telling Esav, I'm stronger than you, or don't start with me, because I'm going to give you back. He's not telling him, oh, you're like an angel, you are my brother. It's like he's covering everything in a nice cover. So from one side, he is not insulting him. Because, you know, in diplomacy, it's very important. Even when you have the power, that you tell the enemy things that will keep his honor. Because if you don't let him keep his honor, it's not going to happen. You're not going to have peace with him. But if from one side you give him his honor, from the other side you're giving him a clue that you have the power. So this way he can climb down from the high tree. Like, unfortunately, doesn't happen with the government. It's not, nobody climbs down from the tree. They're all on top of the tree. Yeah, sorry.
Did Esav know about the incident with his angel and Yaakov?
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. That's what you see, the angel of Esav is in a certain way connected to Esav.
Yeah, must be.
So he must have felt something going happening. Now when he's telling him, so Esav is thinking, why is he, if we want to put it in a normal story, why is he telling me that I look like an angel? That's what I felt yesterday. I felt I had a heart, something happened here. Oh, now I understand. He met my angel and he's here, which means that he succeeded to get over my angel. In other words, this is, it's a very clever way of telling him, I've got the power, don't start with me. The same way, also, we have double meaning the whole parsha. Also, in the way he acts, he is being told that Esav comes with 400 warriors. What would you do? Now, he doesn't know. It looks like he's coming to fight. But maybe, he's not coming to fight. Maybe he comes in peace. Now, if I come with weapons, what would he think? I'm coming to war. Then it's going to be a war. Even if he wasn't thinking about war. From the other side, if I come in peace with no weapons, and he comes for war, he's going to kill me. So what do I do? What is Yaakov doing? Dividing the camp to two. The first one is with no weapons, coming in peace, but behind, he's got all the soldiers. Now he says, if Esav comes in peace, the soldiers behind put the weapon away and everything is nice and quiet. But if he comes to war, the first camp goes to the sides and the camp behind approach goes out and they have a fight, they have a war.
I just wanted to quickly say, like Father said to me, with the Arabs, you have to be like an iron fist in a velvet glove.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's what I told that 2 minutes ago. This is what Yaakov Avinu is trying to teach us. You show him a good face, but behind you let him know that you're prepared. You are not just this guy that he can, because we all know. And especially, unfortunately, here we don't understand it. Like the last parsha, Yaakov Avinu is raising this big stone to show Laban that he's got power, but he's not using it. And on the contrary, he's making peace with him. But how can you make peace with Laban? Only when you're showing that you've got the power to do the peace. In other words, you have the power to fight him. You have the power to finish him. But you choose not to. So then, he is doing the peace with you. So in other words, when you come to our enemies and you talk with them the way a European talk with the people, it's not going to work because it's not their culture. Their culture is al harbecha tichye. They live on the sword, and we see how they behave with themselves. So if you come to them, I can never forget after the Six-Day War, when you walked around all the places, you could walk in Jerusalem wherever you wanted. We used to go to Kever Rachel with Arab bus. And they used to look at you. What?
There's no building around.
Nothing. They used to look at you, Afendi, bow to you. But after they realized that we are so shmerels, it all changed. Because they understand the language of power. And this is what Yaakov is teaching us. He says, you have to know to be a diplomat, how to deal with the problems you've got in front of you. You can confront it directly, and maybe that's not the right way to do it. But you can confront it in a clever way. This is what he's doing. Now, is he saying, "Atzileinina miyad achi miyad esav"? And this is, by the way, I think one of the most important parts in the Parsha regarding our lives today, amongst not only the Goyim, amongst our people. Unfortunately. Because what is he afraid? This is his brother. Now, Asenia Miyadachi, he says, save me from my brother. Means, if he comes as a brother, why? He's hugging him, they kiss him together. Whoa! And we look at the happy end. Those two brothers that hate each other, suddenly they meet and they hug each other. Could it be a better ending? But Yaakov doesn't think so. Atzileinina miyadachi miyad Esav. Says, save me from my brother if he comes as a brother. And save me from Esav if he comes as an enemy. But what is he putting first? Brother. Because he knows. If you remember, we were talking about when Rivka was pregnant with the two boys, Yaakov and Esav, and when they come near Beth Midrash, Yaakov wanted to go up. And as you remember, we said, Rav Shach Zatzal asked, why is Yaakov wanting to go out of the womb of his mother when an angel is teaching him Torah there? Is there a better teacher than an angel? So he wants to go to Beth Midrash to learn from a human being? An angel is teaching you. They said Eliyahu Navi was learning with an angel. So, what it says, if your companion for learning is Esav, even if an angel is teaching you, go away. So in other words, he realizes that this Esav, even if he's my best friend and my best brother, I have to go far away as I can from him. Because the influence is bad. It's going to corrupt everything. Unfortunately, today, we're talking about our brother's brothers, not Esav. And look how they behave. And we want to be friends with them. But this is something that we have to remember what Yaakov is saying. Atzileinina miyad achi. We have to be very careful. I'm not saying chas v'shalom to cut off, but to understand the worry that Yaakov had. Realizing that when you get close to somebody who is corrupt, better off, get away. But if you've got no option, realize the problem. Realize the danger. And there is a lot of danger there. You know, we always come to the point that if somebody realizes that he's doing a mistake, he can fix it. But if somebody doesn't realize he's doing a mistake, he can never fix it. It's like we talked about last week, I think, about the transportation on Shabbos, buses on Shabbos. You know, when you ask deeply, when you ask somebody, do you really want Shabbos to look like a normal day? Believe me, most of the people, not religious, religious, they don't want Shabbos to be another day. Nobody wants it. Very few, maybe. Because first of all, everybody wants to have a rest. And everybody realizes the power of Shabbos and the gift that you have in Shabbos. The problem is that everybody sees it differently. How is he going to enjoy his Shabbos? And here we get to the problem. In other words, we all agree, or let's say most of us agree, that you need a Shabbos. And because we are Jewish, even Ron Huldai, the mayor of Tel Aviv, said, I want a Jewish Shabbos. And as I said, that maybe now, till now I had a problem who to ask if I need to know how to keep Shabbos. Now I know how to who to ask. I go to Ron Huldai, he will tell me how to keep Shabbos. Because he wants a Jewish Shabbos. He will tell me what is a Jewish Shabbos. This is so stupid. But he really thinks like this. And this is a problem. That's a tzilenina miyadachi. We have to be aware of it. They don't realize. They don't see the picture. They don't understand what is a Jewish Shabbos. If they would start learning a little. Because you see, one of the problems is that Baruch Hashem, we're sitting here and learning. Learning is not just that we do a mitzvah. This is knowledge. This is letting us know where we come from. Why are we here and what are we doing here? But if somebody goes around, doesn't know what he's doing here, doesn't know what it's all about, what does it mean? Just this morning I said about a very interesting thing of Beten Chelkeinu, this book, and he writes about this meeting with Esav. And it's very interesting. How could it be that this enemy, Esav, suddenly coming with 400 soldiers, yes? So he didn't exactly have good intention. So how did he change? How did he suddenly become a lover? And we all know, ba'alacha, ba'yadua she'esav soneh le'Yaakov. So what happened there? What did Yaakov do that made Esav hug him and kiss him? And the Rashi said it was a real love at that moment. And there is a midrash that said that he was taking on himself Yaakov as his master, as the blessing of Yitzchak. Of course, it didn't last long, but still we have to understand how did it happen. And he says a very interesting thing there. If you take on the couch of the psychologist, you go to a psychologist, you have two people. One is a guy, rich guy, enjoys life. I don't know how you call this guy in English, nehentan. Have you got a word for nehentan? It's a little more. Somebody who loves the good life. Nehentan. What would you call it in English? We'll say somebody who likes good life, he likes restaurants, he likes good food, he likes clothes, he likes what?
Hedonist,
whatever. He likes all the good stuff of the world.
An Israeli.
Unfortunately, not far away from the truth. And on the other side, you have this Jewish guy who learns Torah, keeps the mitzvahs, is a spiritual guy. Who would you think will know more on the soul of the person? Some people will say, this guy will enjoy his life. He knows all about life. He likes the good life. He likes the good food. So he knows exactly what is the soul of people. The guy that learns in the yeshiva is spiritual. What does he know about this world? Nothing. But we all know, Yaakov ishtam yoshev alim. This Yaakov, innocent, tamim, he is the truth, as we said, and he is exactly from one point of the opposite of it. He is this guy who is always doing all those things that doesn't look so good, and he deals with everybody. He deals with Esav, he deals with Lavan, he deals with whatever it is, he deals with it. In other words, if you will ask the guy that sits and learns Torah, the spiritual guy, he knows about soul much more than the other guy. And you know why? Very simple reason. It's unbelievable. Think about it. This guy who enjoys life, he is just running from one thing to the other. Sipukim miyadim. He wants, how do you say sipuk miyadim?
Instant
gratification. Now. And when he finishes something.
Materialistic.
Yes. And when he finishes something, he wants another thing. He doesn't stop for a minute to think, what is it going to do to me? Is it good to eat this cake? Is it good to go to this party? Is it good to take drugs? Is it good? He doesn't think. He enjoys the drugs. He enjoys the cake. He's not allowed. He's diabetic. But who cares? He wants it. He doesn't think. Doesn't think what is going to be the results. From the other side, the guy, the spiritual guy, he knows exactly. Why? Because he has got this fight all the time. He thinks, should I do this? Because he's got also the temptation. He's not covered out from the temptation. He also got the temptation. But he thinks before he does it. He thinks, is it going to be good for me? Or is it going to be bad? In other words, he understands the soul of a person much more than the other guy. Because he deals with it all the time. And this is what Yaakov is teaching us. He understands who is standing in front of him. And he knows how to make it and get it to the point that even Esav will turn around and hug him and kiss him. And this is the way he built everything. He was dividing the camp. He was giving him gifts. And while he was giving him the gifts, it's also like between every herd, he gave a distance. Because think about it. If I send you 200 sheep with one go, it looks a lot. But if I send you 50, 50, 50, 50, and between all the 50, I give a gap of 50. Now it looks like 500, 600. It looks much more. That's the way he's doing it. Then, all the attitude, the whole approach, is doing it in a way. And when it comes to Esav said, No, no, I've got plenty.
But Esav was also very spiritual. That's why his head isn't buried in
it. He was. That's exactly the problem.
It's an aspect.
Not connected.
Yeah.
Not connected. That's exactly. He was not connected. That's exactly, you see, that's the problem. It's ve'yadata hayom v'ashevota elevavecha. It's not only sitting and learning. It's also putting in
practice.
To practice. You know, sometimes you have the people, they come to they go to a Musar, you know, this rabbi is telling them what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and how to behave, and he listens, and he thinks the rabbi doesn't talk to him. He talks to the other guy. And when he goes out, it went from here, went to there, and goes on with the same thing that the rabbi was talking 2 minutes ago. You don't have to do that. They are not good for you. Why? Because we are selective hearing. We want to hear what we want to do. What we don't want to do, we don't want to hear. And that's it. In other words, Esav, yes, of course he's very spiritual. He's there, his head, he's got all the knowledge. But it's not connected to the body. And that's exactly what, by the minute it's not connected to the body, you have a problem. It's like, if you know something, it's like, the simple example, something that's really puzzling and unbelievable. You know the cigarettes are not good for you. But people still smoke. You have signs on the cigarettes. Cigarettes can kill you. So did people stop smoking? They still smoke. You understand it's poison, but you want it. People that are not allowed to eat sugar, for example. So everybody is keeping it the right way? No. He sees this good cake. He wants to eat. Ah, it's okay. But that's exactly the point. It's working on us. What we see and what we want. And sometimes we know it's no good, but we want it. So now the temptation is very big. That's the problem. The minute we are living in a society that make us think that what they do is right. We are standing near Hanukkah. That's exactly what was the point of Hanukkah. What was the whole idea of Hanukkah? The Greeks were sure that they're bringing the light to the world. And if you think about it, from a materialistic point of view, they brought all the culture to the world. Comedy, tragedy, the Olympic Games, music, everything is Greek. Philosophy, it's all Greek. So the Greeks, in other words, were very clever, and they brought culture to the world. So when you look at it from their point of view, they brought the light to the world. Till they got here to Israel. And suddenly, they see the stupid Jews. They tell them that the light they've got is darkness. They couldn't understand it. When we have time, maybe in the next few weeks, we'll talk about it. But the real truth is that there is only one light. That this is the light of the Torah. Unfortunately, this light, not everybody wants to see it. It's like this guy, we just will end today. With this guy, comes to the movie, we talked about it. And his first time in a movie, suddenly all gets dark, and he sees those figures on the screen. He says, well, those people are stupid. Why do they sit in the dark? If there will be light, we'll see much better the picture. So the next day he comes with a torch. And the minute that it's getting dark and the movie starts, he's putting the torch on the screen. And what happens? All the figures go away. And what do people shout to him? Turn off the light! That's exactly we. We live in a movie. And we see him, we think this is real. This is not real. And that minute that somebody opens the light to show us the light of the Torah, what do we tell him? Turn off the light. Let us enjoy life. Let us eat good. Let us party. And that's exactly the fight between Yaakov and Esav. This is a tilein in amiyadachi. That's when we see this hug of this Greek culture, of the Western culture, of what's happening outside, and if those are our brothers, it's even a bigger problem, because we are close to them, and they think that they are right, that Shabbos should look like this, and we should go and enjoy life in a materialistic way, nothing spiritual in it, and they fight the spiritual side, which is the most terrible thing. Maybe if they will accept us and we understand that there is a spiritual side and there is a materialistic side, you have to choose. No, they want to destroy us. They want to destroy the adatah, they call it. When we're teaching kids in school where they come from, they call it adatah. We want to make them religion. What do you mean religious? That's your culture. That's your tradition. That's where you came from. That's the reason you're here in Eretz Yisrael and not in the other country. Because otherwise, what are you doing? Go back from where you came. But this is our country. Why? Because of the Bible. Because what we're learning every week. And Yaakov knew it. So Yaakov sent angels to this guy, first of all, to make sure that nobody that is sending is going to be influenced by Esav. Then when he goes there, he is asking God, "Atzileini na miyad achim yad Esav." And after the hugging, he was really worried. Because now, this is Achi. He's hugging me. So what is he telling him? This loving brother tells him, "Let I go with you. We go together." He says, no. It's okay. I've got small kids and cattle. We go slowly. I don't want to disturb you." He says, "You know what? I leave a few people with you." He says, no need. Because he knows I have to separate. I don't need this love. Because this love is going to lead me to a worse place than I can ever imagine. And this is our fight today. But we are, Baruch Hashem, learning. And we're not only putting it on our mind, we're trying to practice it. And then we see the truth. And we understand the soul of human being. So when we see all those people who enjoy life in an extreme, I'm saying, because nobody tells you not to enjoy life. Enjoy life. But understand what is what is the important part and what is less important. What is life really about and what is just nonsense. And Bezrat Hashem, if we go in the way of Yaakov, we will go in the right way. And that's Yaakov Avinu. He's teaching us to deal with everything. It's unbelievable. The more we learn about him, the more we understand how complicated this figure is. And how wonderful it is to learn from him the way how to deal with people. If somebody can turn an enemy to a lover, who needs any more? I wish people turn all our enemies to lovers and not only for a few minutes, forever. Go ahead.
Okay.